In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God.
Oh yes, He loves you. He's wonderful. Did I ever tell you that Jesus is wonderful? He's so wonderful, and He wants you to encounter Him, that you would know Him, not only know about Him, but that He would be your Lord and your Savior. Oh, how we need Jesus. How we need Him to bless us and touch us, just as He did in Mark 8. And I'm looking at Mark 8, the feeding of 4,000. The Word of God says this, "In those days, when there was again a great crowd," why was there a crowd? People wanted to hear Jesus and to be touched by Jesus so that they would be healed. There was a great crowd without anything to eat. And He called His disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd." That means He suffers with the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days. That's a long retreat. 3 whole days listening to Jesus. Jesus healing the people. They've been with Jesus for 3 whole days. And I continue, "and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come a great distance." See, Jesus has compassion on the crowds. So what's He going to do? Of course, He's going to multiply food. Why? Because He loves these people. His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "We have 7 loaves. Then He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, He broke them and gave them to His disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. How can 7 loaves feed so many people? I tell you, God multiplies. He doesn't divide. He doesn't divide. We'll be looking at that in a little while. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, He ordered that they too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up broken pieces, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, that's only the men, and He sent them away, and He immediately got into the boat and with His disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Our Lord Jesus Christ had compassion upon the crowds, and can I tell you, He has compassion upon you. He has compassion upon you because He loves you, because He's got a plan for your life, because He thinks you're wonderful. He's the one that's wonderful, but He thinks that you're precious in His sight, and it's real. You are precious in His sight. That's why He wants you to encounter Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads us to Jesus. What did Jesus do in this experience? He healed the sick, and He fed the 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. Why did He do this? Because He loved them. I remember in El Paso, Texas, there was a dump that the people lived in, a dump and cardboard boxes, and friends of mine went to feed them. They only had 2 chickens. But you want to know what? The 2 chickens lasted for the whole group of people. And there were a lot of people. You know, 2 chickens don't go very far. You can have 10 people and they're gone. But God multiplied the 2 chickens so that the poor would be able to eat. God is into multiplication. He is not into division. Jesus said that they would be one, even as I am in thee and thou art in me, that there would be one in us, so that the world would know that you, the Father, sent me. That unity is so important. I want to also say this today. You know, it is not good for Protestants to talk against Catholics and for Catholics to talk against Protestants. It is not good. That's division. That's division. Jesus died so that we might be united in him. Now, I know we have different theologies. That's real. But I am sure that God does not want us destroying other people. He came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. So, the people that are not Catholic, I love. I've learned from them. Oh, yes, I've learned from them. And I continue to learn from them because they're faithful and they love Jesus. Oh, I've learned from Catholics, too. They're faithful and they love Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about encountering Jesus. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross out of love for us. He shed his blood for you, my friend. He shed his blood for you, and that blood makes us pure. That's why we need to go to confession. We enter the box and we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus as we confess our sins and receive absolution. Oh, yes. How Jesus wants to fill us with the power of his grace. It all comes from the cross. I'm continuing with Mark 8, verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got into the boat again, and he crossed to the other side. I'm telling you, the sign himself is Jesus Christ. He is the sign. He is the Father's beloved Son, and he thinks you're precious, precious in his sight. Verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. You think that they would know what Jesus is going to do. They've seen the multiplication, but they're upset. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware for the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." These poor disciples are as stupid as we are. And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and you fail to see? Do you have ears and you fail to hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And what about the 7 for the 4,000? How many baskets of full broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" It's very interesting, you see. They still didn't get it, that Jesus Christ would provide for them. Do you know today that Jesus Christ will provide for you? Do you know today that you are a delight in his eyes, that he wants to provide for you? That's why I talk about tithing. Why do I talk about tithing? Because as we give to the Lord, he opens the windows of heaven, and things begin to happen. Yes, do you know that God wants to provide for you? Yes. Plant some seeds. Plant some money. And watch God multiply it. You know, one person said to me, God is not a provider. I'm hungry. Well, I said to the person, we can give you something to eat. We can give you something to eat. But you've got to make your own connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to encounter Him so that you know that the provision that you need will be given to Him and given to you. You know what the Word of God says in the disciples' prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, yes, God gives us our daily bread, not only bread, but the Eucharist every single day by the grace of the living God. By the grace of the living God. Verse 22, chapter 8 of Mark. They came to Bethesda. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Why did Jesus lead him out of the village? There's no faith in that village. So he led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes, he laid his hands on him, and he asked him, can you see anything? And the man looked up and said, I can see people, but they look like trees that are walking. So we know that this man at one time could see because he knew what a tree looked like. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, do not even go into the village. I remember learning that Jesus, if he needed to pray for something twice, we need to do the same thing. We need to do the same thing. I've told you about Jean and how she was healed of cancer for the last 10 years by the grace of God. She was given 3 months 10 years ago. The cancer has come back now. And so we're believing that what God did before, He's going to do again. Just like the multiplication of bread, what He did before, He's going to do again. Why? Because He loves Jean. Let's pray for Jean right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, heal Jean right now. By the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel, heal Jean right now. Anything the enemy wrote against Jean has been canceled by the blood of Jesus. Heal Jean now of all this cancer. I call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and they are by grace. In the name of Jesus, heal Jean completely of this cancer. You see, why did it come back? I have no idea. But I do know two things. We sent her to the best doctors, and we sent her to the prayer group where God wants to continue to heal her. The best doctors and the best prayers. That's so important. Not either or, but both and. Jesus went on with his disciples to a village called Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? I'm going to ask you the question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he a teacher? Far more than a teacher. Is he a healer? Far more than a healer. Is he a preacher? Far more than a preacher. Who is he? And they answered him, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Peter knew who he was. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Yes, Peter, my heavenly Father has revealed this to you. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Oh my. Oh my. You know, Peter wants to set up a tent, so to speak, and watch people get healed. And Jesus knows that the great healing is going to take place on the cross of Jesus. On the cross of Jesus, where he's going to shed his blood for many. Oh yes. For you. For me. By the grace of God. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Have you offered your life to Jesus as a living sacrifice? Oh, how we need to surrender our lives to Jesus. How we need to give him our life, our time, our goods. How we need to do that. So many people say, "Well, you know, I'm not that religious. It's nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ, that he wants us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice of praise to him. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the angels." Are you ashamed of Jesus today? I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the church. I'm not ashamed. It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It's not a business. It's the body of Christ, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, how we need to know that when we gather two and three together, we are a little church within the church, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us and makes Jesus present to us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ said that. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory. You know what? In the glory of the Father and with his holy angels. Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus. Don't ever be ashamed of his word. Don't ever be ashamed. He is the Lord, and he loves you. And again, he wants you to encounter him. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us by the Holy Spirit to encounter your divine Son. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and on nothing else. Even when we pray for Jean, for her healing again, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, because he is the healer and he is the one that does the great miracle. chapter 9. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God coming in power." And we're going to see that in the Transfiguration. 6 days later, that's 6 days after Caesarea Philippi, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses. Why Elijah? He represents the prophets. Why Moses? He represents the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And they were talking with Jesus. What are they talking about? About him going into Jerusalem and that he's going to lay his life down on the cross and shed his blood so that we would become the children of God. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here." Peter is scared stiff. "Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying because he was terrified. Why three booths? It is during the fall experience because the Feast of Booths is taking place. He wants to erect three booths, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, because he's scared stiff. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, beloved, listen to him." Suddenly when they looked up, they saw no one with them but only Jesus. I tell you, that's all you need to see is Jesus. He is the Lord. He is the Father's only Son. He is the one who gives us eternal life. They looked up and saw only Jesus. Let me ask you this. Who do you see? I don't want to see miracles. I want to see Jesus who does miracles. I want to see Jesus who speaks his word. I want to see Jesus who is the beloved of the Father. That's who I want to see. Who do you want to see? Who do you want to see? Let's pray for an encounter with Jesus Christ. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, send the Holy Spirit upon me. Send the Holy Spirit upon me. Give me your grace. Give me your grace that I would encounter you. That I would encounter you. I love you. I love you. I need you. I need you. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Wash away my sins in your blood. Wash away my sins in your blood. Be Savior of my life. Be Savior of my life. Be Lord of my life. Be Lord of my life. I want to encounter you, Jesus. I want to encounter you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. I have some announcements to make. This Saturday, October 14th, at 12 o'clock, at Planned Parenthood, as we honor Our Lady of Fatima, there is going to be a World Rosary taking place at 12 o'clock. And in Boston, it's going to be October 14th, Saturday, at 12 noon, in front of Planned Parenthood. And it's in honor of Our Lady of Fatima. Oh, yes. Thank God for Mary and what she told the little children. What she told the little children. And she told us because there was no repentance, there would be another war. I tell you, we need to pray. Join the people in Planned Parenthood. on Saturday at 12 noon for the rosary. Join the world who will be praying at that time in the name of Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You are precious in the sight of God. He wants to have you encounter his love, because his love is everlasting. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.